1. It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
And welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Shout out to the folks watching online today and the folks listening around the world, as I said, on the iHeartRadio app and here at Fox Sports Radio 1400. You know, I've got a lot of things I'm going to get into today, including, the CFP playoff and how we're just basically being shoved with Ohio State down our throat. And I also have some other thoughts, too. Coach Dabo Swinney did something silly. I say silly today. Maybe he did it on purpose. I don't know. We'll talk about that in a moment. And we'll talk about South Carolina getting a bowl bid. And there are a lot of folks that are upset about it. On the other end, in the end, does it really matter? So we'll talk about that and a lot more today. But I want to start by giving you the phone number, 803-978-1832. You can respond at any time to anything that we throw out there today. First of all, I want to get into the CFP stuff because, in my opinion, there's a lot to break down there. Now, I'm not going to be like a lot of other folks that just give you the cardboard cutout piece of it, because that's boring in my opinion. Here's what I like about the CFP. We'll do likes and dislikes. I like Alabama at number one. Alabama has not lost a game. They are 11-0. Played 11 SEC games. Have absolutely no gripe from me as far as Alabama being at number one. Number two is Clemson. Yes, Clemson made a statement over the weekend as they beat up, and I say beat up because that's what it was, Notre Dame. And they have them at number two. Don't have a problem there. Number three, Ohio State, and we've talked about this, and my opinion has not changed. If you watch the first half of the Ohio State-Northwestern game and you think that Ohio State still belongs in the college football playoff, you've not watched a lot of the game of football. It's not a good football team. It's my opinion that both Alabama and Clemson were given bye weeks. If you don't believe me, look at the spreads. Alabama's what, a 17.5-point favorite? Clemson, by the way, is a 6.5-point favorite. And Vegas, a couple of weeks ago, claimed that Ohio State was a 3-point favorite over Clemson. Remember that? We talked about that here on the show. Yeah, they fixed their tune really quick. It's amazing what happens when Clemson gets Tyler Davis, who's going to be one of the top defensive tackles taken in the NFL draft. They get him back and their middle linebacker back. It's amazing what happens when a team gets absolutely healthy and does plays up to their potential. Now, I'm not saying that you should use injuries as a crutch. I'm just saying when you have everybody back and things are flowing correctly, it's amazing how things work out. Simple as that. It's not that far-fetched. But Ohio State at three is an absolute joke. Then, to be completely honest with you, Notre Dame at four doesn't make a lot of sense to me. If you lost by 24 points the day before to a playoff team, you don't belong in the playoff. Simple as that for me. I think that there are other teams that, I'm not saying will be better than Notre Dame, but I think that there are other teams that have done better stuff. Now, I know the first thing that people come out with is Texas A&M. And you can make an argument for Texas A&M. They lost by, what, 28 points to Alabama, though? It's the same theory that I have with Notre Dame. Now, I know that that game was months ago. I get that. And teams can blossom as the season moves forward. I go on, that's fine with me. All right? But I think the Texas A&M, if I had to pick, they are worthy of a spot. Now, as far as where Ohio State is, I mean, what else do you need, Ohio State? The Big Ten basically maneuvered around to let you get into the Big Ten championship game. Oh, that's not enough. We're going to move back our own protocols that we made for COVID-19, and we're just going to set it up where you can have everything you need, Ohio State. Ryan Day must have his cell phone, and he can just call up, "Hello, Big Ten, we need this. Yes, make it happen. Thanks." It's like ordering something at McDonald's. That's about how this stuff works with Ohio State and the Big Ten. Now, and here's the thing. If Ohio State wants to shut me up, here's how you do it. How about win against Clemson? Now, don't call me with, we should have won last year. You didn't. No one gives a crap anymore about the stuff that you, oh, the fumble. No. It's what the ref said. Sorry. That's why they're so angry up there, by the way, in Big Ten country. They think that the SEC refs in the Fiesta Bowl last year screwed them over. What they should look at is the fact that their quarterback threw twice as many interceptions in that game as he did against the entire Big Ten schedule. Maybe that had a little bit to do with it. Maybe just a little bit. If you get yourself into a position where one play by the officials can turn the entire thing, that's your fault. Do your assessment on you. Stop making it about, well, the refs cheated us. No. Clemson played with the same refs. Sorry. Sorry if that doesn't work out for you. Maybe you could try to beat Clemson in a game or just a team from the Palmetto State. Ohio State's got an 0-for record against every team from South Carolina. Maybe we should send the Citadel up there. We send Coastal up there. They may come out with a win. You never know. Which, by the way, Dabo Swinney, in his coaches poll, we talked about this, what Dabo Swinney did. In his coaches poll, which I'm sure he knows everybody gets to see that, Dabo Swinney ranked Ohio State 11th. It's not a joke. You could look on my blog page at FoxSportsRadio1400.com. I wrote it up. Right there on there. It's up there for you. You can see his whole ballot. He's got Coastal at 10, Ohio State at 11, and North Carolina at 12. So in the eyes of Coach Dabo Swinney, you're the 11th best team in the country, just ahead of North Carolina. Just ahead of North Carolina there, Ohio State. Congratulations on that, I guess. 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you want to join us here on the rundown. Now, who can replace Ohio State and Notre Dame? If I had it my way, I would go with Texas A&M, even though I know they lost to Alabama. Wouldn't you like to see Texas A&M get one more shot at them? Just one more. Now, I'm not talking, everybody's like, well, what about the rematch between Clemson and Ohio State? Now, that's from last year, man. There's guys that are on that Ohio State team that aren't there now. There are guys on that Clemson team that aren't there now. So there you go with that. Brandon with a good point there. Nick Saban ranked Ohio State 5th in the coaches poll. So it's not like, I mean, those are two of the considered best college coaches in the country. They think that you're not exactly in the playoff. So does the chunky guy standing here in Columbia who screamed it since week 3 when they put you in the AP poll and had you ranked so high. So I'm not the only one who feels that way. But we'll take calls at 803-978-1832. My other team that I think that would be interesting to have, even though they don't have the resume, is Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a completely different team than they were at the beginning of the season. Now, I know it's not the way that teams are playing right now, because if it were, then you would have to include the Georgia Bulldogs, but they've got coaching issues. We've talked about that. And just the 10-second synopsis on this, Daniel should have been starting at quarterback over the other young man that was out there. Daniel starts at quarterback. Georgia's probably in the top four. Just saying. You know, another team that, and this is from this weekend, that had some business in that top four, but they weren't quite there yet because they kind of shot themselves in the foot the week before, is Florida. Florida went toe-to-toe with Alabama. Now, I say this in, I don't know how I can say this in the way that I want to put it out there, but the Alabama defense has been lit up twice this season, like a Christmas tree. The first by Ole Miss, the second by Florida. Now, Matt Corral down at Ole Miss, he lit up everybody this season. Ole Miss just didn't have any defense. Florida's defense got lit up by Alabama. Alabama lights up everybody. So I tell you this because I've looked up and down the Alabama schedule, and I've tried to figure out, and I've watched a bunch of their games, and I've tried to figure out if there's a weakness with Alabama. And I think you have to have something like what Florida had. They had a 1-2 punch with Pitts and Trask, and then they had Kadarius Toney. I think that's his last name is Toney. I think it's Kadarius. Hope I pronounced that correctly. If his mom is listening, she'd be mad if I messed it up. Sorry, Mrs. Toney. Anyway, that 1-2-3 matchup there, I think, is something that you have to beat Alabama. You have to be able to consistently run the ball, and you have to be able to consistently throw it, too. You can't just come at them with just one set. It's not going to work. Hence the reason that Georgia lost. Okay? And you have to think of this with Alabama, too. Going in, you want your defense to hold them to 24 points. Just my opinion. If you hold Alabama to 24 points and you have the offensive capabilities that we talked about, then you have the opportunity to pull off the upset, which any team playing Alabama is going to be an underdog. So, here's my thing on this. The only team that I think that's in the college football playoff that belongs on the field with Alabama is Clemson. Why? Because I think Clemson's got one of the better quarterbacks in the country. You can make an argument that he's the best quarterback in the country. There are a lot of Clemson fans on Twitter right now that absolutely are upset that Trevor Lawrence right now, I think to one spot is, what, 1,500-1 to win the Heisman? Don't concern yourself with that. Concern yourself with the national title. That's what matters the most. But Clemson has that at quarterback, and then Clemson has receivers. Amari Rodgers, he's not on the level of a Kyle Pitts at Florida as far as being a receiving threat, but he's really good. E.J. Williams on the other side, really good. But then you've got the Swiss Army knife, and that is Travis Etienne, who, if you watched the game on Saturday, was the typical Travis Etienne. He has the capability of running the ball, and he has the capability of catching the ball out of the backfield and making defenses look stupid if they decide to blitz against Trevor Lawrence. And when he does that and he gets in open space, people kind of stand up a little bit because he could go a long way. Simple as that. That's the only team I think that can beat Alabama. And things have to go right for Clemson, by the way, because Clemson has, you know, they've had some issues at some point. We got to make sure with Clemson that they're completely healthy. With Tyler Davis has to play, Skalski has to play. Those guys have to be on their game, and Clemson can beat Alabama. They're the only team in the playoff that can. The other three teams, in my opinion, are jokes. Excuse me, the other two are jokes. The number five team already got blown out. Ross says, has Lawrence done anything wrong to lose the Heisman, though? Yeah, he didn't play in enough games. That's what they're going to hold against him. He has the eye-popping stats, but a lot of games with Clemson, he didn't play the full game. That, and if I knew exactly how to get Heisman voters to vote for somebody, I would put that in a book and sell it, and people would buy it. Brandon says, Ole Miss and Florida put up a combined 94 points on the Alabama defense this year. Yeah. So Alabama's defense can be scored upon. Let's make sure that's out there. They needed 52 points to beat Florida? I think if a game goes into a shootout, Clemson has a good chance to win. I really do. Let's see. There was one other comment. Let's see if I can scroll up here a little bit. Oh, here we go. And this is from Maddie. He says, especially if the team has a decently mobile quarterback, Matt Corral torched us. Of course, he's talking about Alabama. Trask, while not a dual threat QB, still had some decent runs on the Bama defense. Yeah. And if you remember, the first CFP final that Clemson and Alabama played, Deshaun Watson made plays with his feet. Those are things that it seems like the Bama defense just doesn't have a lot of capability to stop. But I'll stand on that hill that the only team in the playoffs that can beat Alabama is Clemson. That's the matchup that everyone wants to see, by the way. Not all the Big Ten people up there, they're thinking, oh my goodness, maybe Ohio State can validate our conference if we can pull off the upset and beat Clemson. By halftime, they're going to be saying, hopefully we don't lose by 20. Seriously. I think that's how that's going to shake out. You've got two CFP matchups that are going to be terrible. They're not going to be watchable. And why? Because of the CFP playoff committee. I think they were leaned on and they were thinking that this is going to get big numbers on the TV, and that's the way that they went. If you wanted better teams in there, and the teams that you thought had went through the struggle of playing an entire season, you would have looked at Oklahoma. That would have made more sense to me. You would have given Texas A&M another shot. I'm not saying Texas A&M could go and play with Alabama. I'm not. I think Texas A&M would beat Ohio State, though. On a neutral field, I think they'd beat them. Really do. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. We'll talk a little bit about the Power 5 stuff, the G5 teams, how they're completely screwed out of the playoff system and they're never going to make it. My fix for that is, why don't they just have their own set of playoffs? Who would not want to watch right now a playoff with Coastal, Cincinnati, Liberty, and then insert the fourth best team here? Who would not want to watch that? I'd be on par for that. I would watch every minute of that. And you know what? Those games would probably be pretty good. The old M word is what's holding that back. I think it's an issue of, they still want to think that they can compete with the Alabamas of the world, which they can't. I mean, let's just be real with each other here. Any one of those G5 teams, you put them up against an Alabama, a Clemson in a national championship playoff game, they're going to lose big. They just don't have the players to stay with it. Now, I know people are going to talk about Boise State and Oklahoma. You really think Oklahoma was all invested in that game? I don't. 803-978-1832. Another good point online, a three-headed monster for Alabama: Mac Jones, Najee Harris, and Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith should be winning the Heisman. Now, they'll probably give it to a quarterback, and they shouldn't, but they probably will. And it's sad because it's become the Pretty Boy Award. That's basically what it boils down to. It's just not as impressive as it used to be in my mind. We'll take calls on that as well at 803-978-1832 if you would like to join us here on the Rundown this afternoon. As we get moving along here, it's Christmas week on Fox Sports Radio 1400. We will be doing a show today and tomorrow. We're taking off the rest of the week after that. Our next show will be a joint show with myself and Lawton Swan from Clemson Sports Talk as we preview the bowl game for the for Clemson. We'll do that next Friday. More of the Rundown when we come back. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today. You know, I wanted to mention one other thing about the CFP rankings that kind of bothered me a little bit. Cincinnati gets to play Georgia as the one G5 representative that gets into the New Year's Six. And, you know, I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, they were a good team this season, okay? Here's my thing, though, on this, though. I don't like the way the bowl system set up where you ended up with two G5 opponents in the Cure Bowl. Wouldn't anyone like to see Coastal Carolina ends up playing, what, Liberty in the Cure Bowl? Wouldn't you like to see Coastal maybe getting another shot at a New Year's Six Bowl? Wouldn't that make things just a little bit more fun? And not that it's all about fun here. But Coastal on the season, 11-0. Got a win over what ended up being a top 16 team in BYU. They also went on the road and won at a Power 5 school in Kansas. They've got a win over a top 25 team in Louisiana. So my big thing with this is why not put them there? I understand that the bigger schools, it makes sense to put them there as far as eyes and everything else. But just as kind of an extension to the G5s, why not put Coastal in there and tell them, hey, you know, that extends it out there a little bit, rewards them for a perfect season. I mean, a perfect season. It makes a lot of sense. 803-978-1832. You get Liberty and Coastal playing against each other, which is going to be a good game. But when you look at the final bowl rankings here, wouldn't it be cool if you could have them, let's say, as we look at the New Year's Six bowls here, as I'm scrolling through them here, why not have Texas A&M play them? I mean, I know North Carolina's had a good season, but they lost three games. That would make sense. How about Oregon with four wins? Oregon's 4-2. Make them go out west to the Fiesta Bowl and play Iowa State, a three-loss team. Have Coastal play in that. That would make a lot of sense. Those two bowl games right there would make the most sense as I'm looking through the rest of the New Year's Six here. The other is the Peach Bowl with Georgia and Cincinnati. I don't have a problem with that matchup. But having that second G5 team in there could be interesting and could make things, I don't know, give us that David Goliath type matchup. All the money in the world that these Power 5 schools have, then going against this G5 school that doesn't. Evan with a good point online. Maybe they could help facilitate a G5 playoff. Yeah. Cincinnati, what would your G5 be? You'd have what? Cincinnati, Coastal, and what? Liberty? And then who's the other one? I mean, you'd have to roll your stuff down on that. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call. If you'd like to join us here on The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders, of course. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sounds Good as we look at the college football playoff and the numbers that the bowl games that have come out. I think they did a good job with some of the bowls. Some of these matchups could be interesting. Georgia and Cincinnati, why not? Auburn and Northwestern might be interesting too. Then you look at some of the other games. Indiana and Ole Miss. I like the Iowa State-Oregon matchup. Makes sense to me. Texas A&M and North Carolina. Texas A&M is a 7-point favorite in that matchup. Some people think that may be the way that may be one of the games where it's kind of skewed a little bit. Some people like North Carolina with those running backs they've got. Jerome's asked, would Lane Kiffin move? I don't know if Lane Kiffin wants to move or not. I mean, does he want to go to Auburn where if you're 33 games over 500 in 8 years, you're not good enough? I don't know why anybody would want that Auburn job, to be honest with you. Another comment, I feel like the only reason Coastal is ranked behind Cincinnati, even though both are undefeated, is because the American Conference is generally more respected by the poll voters than the Sun Belt is. Yeah, I understand that, and that makes a lot of sense, but what was it? Didn't Louisiana beat Iowa State? I think that was the matchup I remember. Just saying. They should start looking at the Sun Belt a little bit. So, yeah, App State in the Sun Belt has been a power for a long time. So, Yeah, you're probably right about that. 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on the Rundown this afternoon on Fox Sports Radio 1400. A couple other comments. They mentioned Waddle could be back for the national championship game on Saturday. I tell you what, man, if he gets back for that national championship game and he's 100%, that makes Alabama tough, tough, tough. I'm not sure that Alabama would want to bring him back, though, and mess up the efficiency that they've got right now. If he's not completely 100%, I don't know if I'd want him back on the field. There's not much wrong with the Alabama offense right now. There really isn't. 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you'd like to join us here on the Rundown this afternoon on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Of course, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Do you have a do you have any idea of where which way they're going to go at Auburn? That was what's next on my list here. I'm not sure which way they're rolling down there. I think they made a mistake in firing Gus Malzahn. And where's he going to end up? Trust me, his name will be coming up quick. I don't think he'll I think he'll sit on the sidelines this season, but next season, trust me, the first SEC job that opens up, his name's going to be hot on the presses as far as, hey, this is the guy that we want. As I said, 33 games over 500 at Auburn. Not what you want when the not what you want to see if you're a coach going in. Because basically, I guess what they're telling you at Auburn is be really, really good, beat Nick Saban, or you're fired. Basically the way it rolls. 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832. They can't seem to get the right guy, even though beating Alabama every other year. Yeah, it's a good point from Jerome there. He was 3-5 against Alabama. There aren't very many SEC schools, or there aren't very many coaches that can say they beat Nick Saban 3 out of 8 times. It's a tough thing to do. 3 out of 8 times. It's a tough thing to do. Alabama doesn't lose a lot. Just saying. All right, so as I said, we'll take your calls this afternoon, 803-978-1832. We're going to talk about the Gamecock Bowl game next. Are Gamecock fans upset about this? There are some folks on Twitter that are like, ugh, man, they got to play again? And there are some folks that are like, hey, I get to watch my Gamecocks play in a game this weekend. So, I mean, I guess there's the best of both worlds there. But we'll talk a little bit about that matchup with UAB. UAB, the champions of Conference USA, pretty good team. I wouldn't look at them as just, hey, look at the name on the front of our jerseys, because they are a pretty good football team. We'll talk a little bit about UAB when we come back here from our break. Don't forget Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk. He is up next following me. Teddy Hefner is on Talking Sports from 9 to noon. He did an interview this morning with current Gamecock coach Shane Beamer, the new head coach. I'll be posting that on my blog page a little bit later on as Teddy talked with a new coach about some of the things that he's going to implement here at South Carolina. So be sure to check my blog page later on for that. Some cool stuff there from the new South Carolina football coach. When we come back, we'll talk more about UAB and some other bowl games that you look at and you're like, man, why is this happening? And Edwin brought it up for me. Army's 9-2 and they're not in a bowl game. What is going on here? All that and a lot more in just a moment. You're listening to The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Around the world on the iHeartRadio app, my name is Rob Sanders. You know, I told you we'd look at UAB for a moment, but Army not being in a bowl game is absolutely crazy. So Army goes through their season at 9-2. They win the Commander and Chief Trophy, which is outstanding. But it's sad. 9-2, and it just doesn't get you there. They went over Air Force. They get the Commander-in-Chief Trophy. Had an agreement to play in the Independence Bowl against a Pac-12 opponent. Mid-afternoon yesterday, as the folks on YouTube make me laugh over here and on Facebook, which you can follow the show as well, and join in the wonderful chat over here as they mock my pumpkin head. Thanks, guys. Anyway, lots of Pac-12 teams opted out of the bowl season. And the Army coach, Coach Monachan, says that they threatened to opt out if they got paired against Army. The Independence Bowl canceled its game, and the Black Knights were left without a postseason destination. Army found out yesterday at 6:15. So basically, you had a bunch of teams from the Pac-12, according to an article that I read earlier and the notes I wrote down from ESPN here, that said, hey, if we're paired up against Army, we don't want to play them and we're going to opt out. So we talk a lot about, okay, maybe Ohio State shouldn't be at 3 in the CFP. The biggest travesty yesterday is that Army goes 9-2, and they don't make a playoff. They don't make a bowl game at all. What a mess that is. So you've got Army sitting at 9-2, but you've got what, a 2-8 South Carolina team, and I'm not ripping the Gamecocks. I'm just saying, 2-8 versus 9-2, 3-7 Mississippi State versus 9-2. I don't think anybody and their brother would look out there and say that, hey, if Army played both of those teams, they'd probably win. Army's a solid team this year. And that's sad. That's just sad on that front. But as many bowls as they've got, the SEC has so many bowl tie-ins that they're just expected to fill them. And there's not much you can do about that. But as far as the teams from the Pac-12, just stop. If that's really what kept Army out of a bowl game, depressing. Absolutely depressing. Matt says the Pac-12 hates the troops. I don't know if it's that far. They didn't want to play Army. That's for sure. 803-978-1832. Jerome says, so the big USC junior daddy was scared to play Army. According to Coach Monachan, that's what he says. The direct quote, the bottom line is there were enough people who kept saying, no, we don't want to play Army. We don't want to play Army. This is from Jeff Monachan. This is not Rob Sanders saying this. I mean, I'm saying it, but I'm reading what exactly he said. And I'm sure they don't want to have 1 week to get ready for the option or whatever. But our players, we've got guys on our team that wouldn't be invited as walk-ons to teams that we're getting ready to play. We've got guys from California that didn't have a Pac-12 walk-on offer, and they are starting for us. So basically what he's saying to the Pac-12 is very simple. Hey, we got a bunch of guys you didn't even want to offer. Come on, come play with us. We'll play in the ball game. Let's reward our guys. Let's do that. How's that working out? Yeah, not so much. If all of this is true and what Coach Monachan is saying, it's a disaster. One more quote from Monachan here. Southern Cal a week ago was saying we deserve to be in the CFP if we go undefeated and win the Pac-12. And the Pac-12 was saying they go to the Pac-12 against Oregon and lose, and they go from wanting to go to the CFP to not wanting to play at all. I don't get it. Boise State opted out today. They lost their championship game yesterday. So they went from being their conference champion and representing their conference in a bowl game to opting out, you couldn't go one more week and play us? Yeah. Boise State, I don't want to hear anything from you Boise State Bronco fans either. Opting out and not wanting to play Army. Why is everybody so scared to play Army, by the way? Maybe Army's just good. Maybe they have actual student-athletes, not the fake student-athletes that we all look at. I mean, let's be honest. The guys that are playing for all these service academies, those are true student-athletes. You may have one or two that might go on to play in the pros, but when they go to the service academies, they know that's not going to happen. But why is that? I think it's just because they don't want to play the smart kids. I mean, the really smart, really driven kids, they don't want to play those. Pretty sad. 803-978-1832. 803-978. And I'm right. As Matt corrects me online, it's Munkin. Yes, I know I was pronouncing it wrong. I'm sorry. I'll work on my English during the next break. But back to the Gamecock game. Gamecock fans, are you excited about this bowl game at all? Do you want, are you excited to see this team play again? Or are you upset that you got to go and play this UAB team, which I'm going to give you some numbers on in a moment? They are the conference UAB, they are the conference champion for Conference USA. And when you look at it, what are they, 8-3 on the season? Making sure I got my numbers here. I know they beat Marshall the other day, who was undefeated. So when you look at the UAB schedule, they finished 6-3 overall, lost to Miami by 17. I'm giving you their losses on the season. Lost to Louisiana, a good team, by 4. And they lost to Louisiana Tech by 3 in double overtime. Had some cancellation games, ended up beating Rice and beating Marshall. And now their next matchup is South Carolina. This is the Conference USA champion. You would think that South Carolina would have enough athletes that they could run over the Blazers. But in this year of COVID, I don't think that's going to happen. Las Vegas opened this game up at 5 points. Means that South Carolina is a 5-point underdog. It's going to be an interesting matchup on Saturday at noon, the day after Christmas. Everybody's jacked up after Christmas. I have to work the day after Christmas covering that game over here with our best Gamecock coverage across the hall. Myself and former Gamecock Tim Frisbee will be breaking down that game for you in the post game. The pregame is left to Christopher Thompson, our sports director. And I'll be working with them as well as Coach Eric Wilson. So the three of us will be doing the pregame. They don't let me run my mouth much on pregame. I get to be the opinionated idiot in the postgame. But in the pregame, you know, it's like Toph takes the lead there. And I drop scores and different things throughout the day. But the pre- and postgame show is the absolute best if you're following the Gamecocks. So be sure to check us out on Saturday. If you're doing what I normally would be doing, which is taking down the Christmas lights, the wife gets upset if I don't have the Christmas lights down, like, you know, 3 days after Christmas. I don't think she likes having them up, like, until July when I'd like to take them down. Anyway, some comments. Blake says, you tell all your players, look, if you can't win your one-on-one matchup against UAB, you're probably not going to play for Beamer. That's a good way to look at it. More of the Rundown when we come back. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today. Couple of comments from the chat room here. Blake says, if you lose to UAB, you can completely clean house. Top to bottom, no one stays. The thing is, UAB has completely closed their football program down for years. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Brock says, I bet the coaches are motivated to do good because if they lose to UAB, they may not get a job in the future. Yeah, that's something that's out there too. But don't you think that if you know you're coming back next year, that you want, and Shane Beamer, by the way, is going to be observing, that's the term that I've heard, observing bowl practice, observing the bowl game. I'm sure he'll be down there in Tampa to watch the bowl game. You don't think they want to try to show out for their new coach? I kind of believe that. I don't think that they're going to go out there and try to lay an egg or not put a full effort in simply because their new coach is going to be up there getting a look at them. And I think that in the grand scheme of things, they're going to try to play hard. It's just my opinion. Now, they could come out there and think about this too. Interim coach Mike Bobo said last night, they're going to fly down on Christmas Eve. So think about this for a second. They're going to have practice on Christmas Day, and they're going to play the bowl game on the day after Christmas. So wrap your head around that for a second. You're having these guys who up until a day or two ago thought they were going home for Christmas. Yeah, that's probably not happening. So you're dealing with that. As I said, Shane Beamer is going to observe the bowl game. He's not going to be coaching, is what we were told. And so with that, it's Mike Bobo's team. So when you stop and think about it, though, the more and more you look at it, I think that South Carolina will have a good set of players that will come in and be motivated and ready to go. My thing is, though, is that they may not have enough numbers. Now, I'm not sure where UAB is as far as their players that can play, etc. But COVID takes a hit on all of these rosters, man. And it's not easy. It's really not. So I think that it'll be interesting to see how that's going to come out. All right, so 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call. In their last game, UAB, they opened up the season 4-1. Of course, lost that game to Louisiana. Lost an overtime game, double overtime game to Louisiana Tech. They got a win over Rice and a win over Marshall in the two games since. In their last win over the Herd, the UAB quarterback Tyler Johnson threw for 252 yards with two scores. Spencer Brown, and they like to run the ball with Spencer Brown a little bit here, 30 carries for 149 yards. When I look at that and I see that philosophy, that's kind of what South Carolina's going to do. Wouldn't surprise me if Kevin Harris and this guy from UAB, Spencer Brown, combined for 50 carries. Would not shock me in this game on Saturday. Not one bit. The big receiving threat for the folks from UAB is a young man named Treya Shropshire. I'll make sure I pronounce that correctly. He had 5 catches for 180 yards and a touchdown to lead the receivers in that game. So look at it from this perspective. They threw for 252 yards with their quarterback. 180 yards went to the young man Shropshire. So the two big playmakers are Shropshire and this young man named Brown, who is their running back, Spencer Brown. Those are the two guys who are going to probably do the bulk of the work there on the offensive side of the ball. As far as on defense for South Carolina, can they shut down this guy and keep him in check? And remember, South Carolina does not have, you know, their receiving core out in full force. Shy Smith's not going to play. You're not going to have Sedarius Hutchinson, who is on the offensive line. So there's a lot of things that point to the Gamecocks may not being able to put their best guys out there. Luke Doty, by the way, according to interim coach Mike Bobo. I'm on the same interim coach, Shane Beamer. It's his job after Saturday by himself. But according to Coach Bobo, he's going to start with Luke Doty. I want to throw this out there, too. If you get down by a score, a couple scores, or if you get up big, I would use the rest of this game, if you can get away with it, as an early spring game. Why not? Why not run some of your freshmen out there? I'm sure everybody's going to get a chance to play, but I'm talking about at the quarterback position. Let Ryan Helinski play. That should be the adage that's out there. And if you let him play a little bit, that might help as far as going to the spring game. Okay, into the spring season. I think that he's going to evaluate the stuff with Coach Beamer and then go from there. If you remember at the Shane Beamer press conference at the beginning of the season, he was right there in front. The front row was Ryan Helinski. So I don't think that there's a lot of folks saying, hey, Helinski's going to transfer, and he may. But as of right now, Helinski's being a team guy. Take that for what you will. But I think that he should be given a chance to play this weekend for the Gamecocks. If they get up big or they're losing big, what does it matter? Is anybody going to remember this game 5 years down the line? Probably not. But it's one of those games, too, for the Gamecocks. It's a win-win. It's a win-lose. There's no way to win. Either you were supposed to beat them, and that's great, or you lost. So, there you go. Thrills Mills just sent me a text message. Of course, one of our jocks down the hall. Why is Ohio State talking blank about, in his terms, Pickens County A&M? Do they really want to get 70 points on that buck nut? You're killing me, Thrills Mills, down the hall. I guess that's how Thrills Mills feels about that matchup. You think Dabo Swinney really respects the Ohio State team having him at 11th? I don't know. He said he did yesterday, but I'm not feeling it. Blake says, yes, it'll be remembered. Bowl games are forever etched into the history books. Yeah, but with this season, I mean, with everybody opting out, you could always go with the, hey, at least we played. If you're in the Pac-12, you were sitting at home and you were ducking Army. You didn't want to play Army, Pac-12 teams. Boise State, you didn't want to play Army. Sean says, how does South Carolina get a bowl with two wins? Yeah, it's called the SEC Bowl tie-ins. And we all want to see bowl games over the holidays. I'll admit, I'm going to have one in the background when I'm wrapping gifts and everything else. If there's one that's on, I'll be watching it. I ain't going to lie. It'll be on the background on the TV there. And there's also these degenerates that like to bet. You know who you are. Lawton Swann of Clemson Sports Talk is next. He is the czar of Clemson Sports. My name is Rob Sanders. I will be back at it tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Radio 1400, our final show before the holidays. We'll have one more show on the New Year's Eve. Money, money, money is right, Sean. We'll be back at it tomorrow here on The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400.